speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
And it's a joy today to be with you by means of this radio broadcast. What a wonderful program this is to help the people in our community to know more about what the Bible says on different subjects. We began a discussion with you yesterday on the one body and the importance of every member in that body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." That's such an important statement, isn't it? To be in Christ is to be where all the spiritual blessings are. And yet, that one body is the place where we are in Christ. In John 15, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Already are you clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Now abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." During a recent visit with our good brethren at the Arlington Church of Christ here in McMinnville, we found there in their bulletin this plea on the front page, and we thought it very worthwhile. It says, "In humility, we cherish the hope that this church may speak as the Bible speaks, and may be silent as the Bible is silent. Preach the good news of salvation to the unredeemed, encourage the weary, lift up the fallen, strengthen the saved, and point out the way of life everlasting to all whose lives we touch. To produce faithfully the church of the New Testament is our aim. That all believers may be united to Christ is our plea. That God may use us as a channel through which His blessings may flow into the lives of others, that's our prayer." I think that's a wonderful plea, and I think it should be that which appeals to those who have honest and good hearts. We appreciate the good work of all these congregations and the Arlington congregation, too. Fellowship, is that a word that you know about? Fellowship means partnership, and it is an important word to all in Christ Jesus. There is one fellowship, just as there is one body, one church, as there is one plan of salvation. So there is one God, one Lord, and one Holy Spirit. There is one hope which we all have if we're in Christ Jesus. This, of course, puts aside those things which would cause schism in the body, according to 1 Corinthians 12, and those sects and denominations which are in the world just should not be there. We ought to be one. We ought to be baptized into one body. We ought to wear one name. We ought to live in harmony with the one gospel which has been presented to us all. You know, Paul said in Galatians 1:6-9, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but he said some would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Now, this one gospel presents the one fellowship. And you know, fellowship is a question about which many people in the church throughout the country have become especially concerned. Just recently, I've received a request from some out of our city to write and to think about some comments along this line. Some teach that we must fellowship every person who is a believer in Christ, regardless of whether they do the will of the Lord or not, regardless of what he may practice or teach, while others disregard the teachings of the Lord by binding where the Lord is not bound or loosing where the Lord is not loosed. Now, my friends, when one does not walk in the light of the gospel, we cannot have fellowship one with another. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together except they be in agreement?" So those who know and respect God's word will be content with the teaching of the New Testament, and they will not turn to the right or to the left if they want to have fellowship in Christ. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1:7, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is, those who are cleansed by the blood of Christ, that is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, they have fellowship as long as they walk in the light. Walking in the light means simply walking according to the teaching of the New Testament. And you know, all who walk after the teaching of the New Testament, they have fellowship. They're one. They're one with one another in this one body of Christ. Whether they even know each other or not, they're walking by the same rule, and thereby we have Christian fellowship. Now that means, then, working together for the cause of Christ as God commands. When a child of God refuses to walk according to the light, he is then disfellowshipped, because he disfellowships himself from all who are walking in the light. So when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15, "And if any man obey not our word in this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Any man. That's what he says here, any man. Now you know what? That refers to anyone who is a member of the Lord's church. The command to have no company with him does not mean to shun him in a social sense to the extent that one would not even speak to him, but rather not to fellowship him in the worship and service of the Lord, not to encourage him in his false way. The apostle says definitely not to count him as an enemy, but as to admonish him as a brother. So if we cannot speak to him, how can we admonish him as a brother? You know, that has reference to a member of the church of the Lord who will not abide in the teaching of Christ. The same apostle in his letter to the churches of Galatia wrote, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass or a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Galatians 6:1. Thus we see that if a child of God is overtaken in a fault, which means disobeying the Lord in any respect, whether in teaching or in practice, we who are faithful Christians still should admonish such a one to repent of his evil and thus be restored to fellowship with us. We are to do right no matter what others may do, and we are to do that in the spirit of meekness, not with self-righteous attitudes, but that we could do no wrong ourselves, but we are to want him to return. We are to consider ourselves, lest we should also fall into his same sin by the temptation of it. Now Jesus said to his disciples, "Take heed unto yourselves, and if thy brother sin against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Luke 17 and verse 3. So that teaches us clearly that we are to make an effort, doesn't it, to restore a person to repentance. And if he repents, then we must forgive him, hold no grudge against him, not wait, of course, until such an occasion arises that we can retaliate against him, as some seem to want to do. But Christ teaches plainly that we are to rebuke the one who sins against us. And this should be done personally between the two, not telling everybody else about it, not whispering behind his back. Listen to the Lord in Matthew 18:15-17 about these private matters. He said, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Well, these are very important exhortations to us, aren't they, and commands to us. After one is done according to that which the Lord commands, and a man refuses then to repent, he should not be fellowshipped by the church. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the influence of Satan is different. His encouragement is to talk to everybody else about a brother's fault, even though it's a private matter between us and another brother, and to craftily arouse resentment against that brother among the whole congregation before that brother may be aware of it. Well, nobody should want to be like Absalom, who sat at the gate and stole the hearts of the people and he sought to depose his father and to take the kingdom for himself, according to 2 Samuel 15 and verse 6. Now note, please, that Jesus said, "If thy brother sin against thee." One must be careful not to build up a case against his brother because one does not like him personally, or maybe because of some little idiosyncrasies that he may have to irritate him. If one does not sin against another, that means he does not transgress God's law, then there is no justification for disfellowshipping that person, is it? Surely there is no person, my friends, whose personality would exactly please everyone at all times. And even Jesus did not please everybody, you know. So we must beware of the temptations of Satan and follow always the words of the Lord. In James 5:19 and 20, he said, "Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sin." We certainly should be interested in our brother, shouldn't we? We should be interested in those other members of the body which we are a part of because of being baptized into Christ. We should not desire schism to be in the body. We should not desire division to be there at all. It's wrong in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord does not want that. He prays for unity.